Welcome to Macro Monday on Investec Focus Radio SA, a podcast about what's driving global and local markets. I'm Chris Holdsworth, Chief Investment Strategist at Investec Wealth and Investment. Every Monday morning, I'll update you on key developments from the past week and what you need to know about the week ahead. If you'd prefer to watch a video with the graphs and charts I referred to in the podcast, just go to investec.com/Macro Monday.
Good morning. This week, we're going to have a look at the latest high-frequency economic data from a range of countries across the globe, which suggests that global activity has been picking up. We'll have a look at the non-farm payrolls data, which came out last week, inflation in Europe, inflation in China, and finally, the GDP print, which came out for South Africa. We're going to start off with the high-frequency economic data. PMI data points come out at the back end of each month, and they give us the most timeliest estimate of economic activity across the globe. And the aggregate data is pretty good. The aggregate global PMI reading for last month is at 52. It's the highest reading since the middle of 2021. It's up for 4 months in a row. It tells us that global economic activity actually accelerated over the past 4 months, which is well in excess of what I think had been widely expected 6 to 12 months ago. So growth has been remarkably resilient across the globe. If we look at individual countries, that uptick in global economic activity is not just due to one or two countries. Most of the countries that we track have PMI readings above 50 and with readings that are up month on month. There are a couple of notable exceptions. The German PMI reading, as an example, is below 50 and down month on month. But the vast majority of the globe is in the quadrant that is seeing economic activity, which is still positive and accelerating. There are, however, a couple of anomalies worth mentioning. While the global PMI number is good and the US PMI number is above 50, the US manufacturing PMI, as measured by ISM, is below 50 and declined last month. And because the PMI data is very timeous and it gives us a broad indication of economic activity, it's typically correlated with a number of market variables. And what's interesting is we've seen a breakdown in that correlation. As an example, the manufacturing PMI has been quite weak in the US. Normally, that would be associated with quite high credit spreads. The credit spreads are very low. In addition, a weak manufacturing PMI would be associated with defensive stocks outperforming cyclicals. But we've seen the opposite. We've seen cyclicals outperforming defensives. So there's this very unusual disconnect between what the ISM manufacturing PMI data is telling us and what the market is telling us. The market is telling us that U.S. activity, economic activity is strong, it's likely to be broad-based, and that is priced in as the base case at this point, whereas there's some subcomponents of the PMI data which is still telling us that the growth in the U.S. economy and the global economy, while uniform across countries, is not uniform across sectors. And as a result, the PMI data is telling us that we should probably be cautious, but the market is pricing in a very optimistic scenario. Switching to non-farm payrolls, the non-farm payrolls print for last month was very strong at 275,000, well above the consensus forecast of 200,000. And the non-farm payrolls number suggests, never mind a soft landing, there's no landing at all. This number is extraordinarily strong. But we do need some caution. There was a massive revision to the previous 2 months, down over 100,000 jobs. And that's consistent with what we've seen over the past 12 to 18 months or so, where the initial number comes out and then is subsequently revised down. The average revision over the past 12 months has been down 18,000. So we shouldn't attach too much weight to that 275 number just yet. We probably need to wait a couple of months to see what it will look like post revisions. But there's another reason for caution. There's two predominant labor surveys in the US. There's a non-farm payroll survey where they ask companies, how many people have you hired? And there's a household survey where they ask people, they phone them up, they knock on their doors and ask, are you employed or not? And those two series should give a similar indication of the employment picture in the US. And at the moment, they're not. Over the past 12 months, the non-farm payroll series is up over 2.5 million. The household survey is up just over 600,000. For last month, the non-farm payrolls was up over 275,000. The household survey was down. If we look at the difference between the 12-month growth rate for non-farm payrolls and the household survey, that difference is close to the top end of the range of what we would normally see. That again tells us that we need some caution in interpreting those non-farm payrolls numbers. It could well be the case that we see another sizable revision, and I don't think that we can say that the US labor market is still as strong as it was, given the gap between the non-farm payroll series and the household series. We probably just need to wait a couple of months to be sure. Switching to Europe, European inflation drifted down. It was at 2.6%, down from 2.8%. Core inflation came down too, slightly above the consensus forecast, but heading in the right direction. In addition, the dispersion of inflation across European countries has narrowed too. And at the ECB meeting last week, we heard that they are getting increasingly comfortable that inflation is getting close to the 2% target. And the implicit hint was that June is not unreasonable for a base case expectation for rate cuts. That's largely what the market expects, so no real surprise there. But it does increasingly look like we are getting close to the point at which we can pencil in rate cuts from the ECB, and I say June is probably the right date. Switching to China, Chinese inflation the month before was 0.8%. It came out for this month at 0.7%. It was a bit above the consensus of 0.3%, but it's still well below the central bank target of 3%. In addition, PPI inflation in China is still below minus 2%, and that tells us that headline inflation in China is likely to be low for some time, likely to be below the central bank target for some time, and that opens the door to more stimulus. We've already seen a large amount of stimulus thrown at the weak growth problem, and as a result of that, we've already seen a quite sizable uptick in leading economic indicators in China, so I think we can quite reasonably pencil in a resurgence in economic activity in China over the coming few months. And the primary reason for that is the low inflation, which allows both monetary and fiscal stimulus to be thrown at the problem. Switching to South Africa, we had the GDP print for Q4 come out last week. Quarter on quarter, it was 0.1%. So SA just narrowly avoided a recession. For the whole year, GDP growth was 0.6%. If you look at growth relative to the pre-COVID trend, for nominal GDP, growth in South Africa is in line with the pre-COVID trend, but for real GDP, it's well below. Real GDP is actually roughly in line with pre-COVID levels. And the reason nominal GDP is doing so well is that we've had higher than normal inflation. So the post-COVID period has been characterized by above normal inflation and below normal growth in South Africa. The Reserve Bank would not be very pleased with that at all. If we look at South Africa relative to global peers, South African growth came out in the bottom 15% of countries. That by itself is concerning, and it suggests that South Africa is in structural decline. Typically, from 95 through to 2015 or so, South Africa was sitting between the 30th and 50th percentile. We weren't often in the top quarter of countries by a growth perspective, but we sat within that sort of narrow band of around about 30 to 50th percentile or so. Post-2015, there's been a material deterioration in that metric and sitting at the bottom 15% of countries or so. So that by itself is concerning. But in addition to that, the IMF expects that South Africa will be in the bottom 10% of countries from 2025 onwards. By itself, that's pretty concerning. The IMF, whose forecasts are not materially different from consensus and the Saab, is implicitly forecasting further structural decline in South Africa. We are going to lose our position relative to the rest of the globe. The flip side of this is that the consensus forecast and what's currently in the market, what's currently in the rand, what's currently in our bond market, is for South African growth to be in the bottom 10% of countries over the next few years. That is what is widely expected. It doesn't take much for South African growth to materially beat expectations. And as a result, it doesn't take much for our market, our rand, our bond market, equity market, to do quite well. To put it in concrete terms, the South African economy is expected to grow by about 1 to 1.5% over the medium term. If we can pull out a few numbers of around 2 to 3%, that would be well in excess of expectations, and that's not priced in at all. And if we look at the underlying headwinds for SA growth, particularly SOEs, there has already been a material improvement. We highlighted that over the last couple of weeks, and we'll keep tabs on that going forward. So in summary, growth in SA has been weak. It's been weak for some time. It's expected to be weak going forward, but that's the opportunity. It won't take much to beat those expectations and provide support for domestic asset classes. And that's where we're going to leave it for this week.
That's all for this episode. Do tune in next week for more investment insights from me, Chris Holdsworth, and the Investec Wealth and Investment team. If you haven't yet added us to your podcast feed, you can subscribe to Investec Focus Radio SA wherever you listen. And please take a minute to rate our podcast so we can surface this content to the broader investment community. If you want to see the graphs that I reference in the podcast, you can watch a video version of this recording at investec.com/Macro Monday.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of Investec Wealth and Investment International and should not be taken as advice, guidance, or recommendation. Investec Wealth and Investment International, a member of the JSE Equity, Equity Derivatives, Currency Derivatives, Bond Derivatives, and Interest Rate Derivatives Markets, an authorized financial services provider and a registered credit provider.